Recovery 101, yeah, with your hosts Bruce, Shelley, and Mark. They want to talk with you, joke with you, and tell you the facts. They want to see you in recovery, working those steps, and when you're through, they want to chat with you. Put down the jack in the crack, and take a step on back, and go to a meeting, and keep coming back. And then tune to recovery101.net. And when you're through, they want to joke with you.
Thank you to Courtney for our marvelous Recovery 101 jingle. Recovery 101 does not speak for AA. NAOACAGAPASLASLAACRRMMDRAHAPAFAIRSMART. NASA, FBI, NSA, we don't speak for any of them. We don't even speak that well for ourselves, as you're about to find out. Welcome to Recovery 101. My name is Bruce B., as always with
Shelley
and Hamza.
Special guest star, Hamza!
Yeah, yeah!
Okay. How was your day, Hamza?
It was good. I mean, sat around on the couch all day, but yesterday was great.
Did you watch football?
No, I don't watch football. No. Never.
My friend James is bumming. By the time this show goes up, probably be Super Bowl time, but
I watch Super Bowls, yes.
Yeah.
I like to gamble.
Seattle recently beat Green Bay.
The Packers cheeseheads or yeah. Cheese what?
Yeah, they're gone. They're gone.
Good, good. I don't like a guy who likes the cheeseheads, so.
Oh. Well, there you go. Perfect. He probably doesn't like you either.
No, Shelly? He doesn't.
Yeah.
How was church?
Church was good. Actually, we got to sing Battle Hymn of the Republic, which is my favorite hymn.
Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. That one?
Yes.
Sweet.
That's my favorite hymn, and we got to sing that today, and nobody tripped in the choir, getting into the choir loft, and
nobody
choir
tripped.
Well, lately that's been kind of a thing. And
you know why, right?
We sounded pretty good. Yeah, I know exactly why.
Why? Why? Why do you think it is?
Because they strung some sort of electrical cable up through the middle of the choir loft, and every time we walk through, somebody forgets it's there and trips over it.
I thought it was because it was a bunch of gray hairs.
Oh, I thought everybody was drunk or something.
No, we're Methodists.
Oh, okay. I don't know what that means.
We drink secretly.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Not before church.
Nice.
Not always secretly.
Right after church.
Methodists were the ones that originally did the whole temperance movement. And the former pastor at this church had a camp out, took a keg.
No, he didn't take it. He bought it, but they canceled the camp out.
Yeah. Was going to take a keg for like five adults or something. A keg for like five adults. I'm like, wow. I mean, I remember we used 22 pledges on a keg.
What a nice guy.
He's not our pastor anymore.
No.
Oh, bummer.
No, he got bumped.
Well, he resigned, but he sort of had to.
Shelly's in the studio in the big giant leather chair today.
Yes, I get the leather chair because Mark's not here.
Hi, Mark.
Hey. How's it going?
Wait, is that supposed to be Mark?
I guess.
Yeah, not so much. Well, you know what that means. Well, it's time for the boozy news, and the news not fit for booze. Not too shabby.
Yeah, yeah.
Not too shabby.
For his first attempt.
He was practicing earlier.
Of course, this is going to take us forever to do the switchover.
I always practice every time you guys do it, but I always have the extra toot at the end.
That's what Fran does. Fran practices.
No, Fran doesn't practice the doot. She dances in front of the doots.
Dancing with the doots.
All right.
Oh, this is quite comfortably kicked back over here. Oh, my. You think I'm going to walk back over there.
We have shout-outs to Heather, Bill, Carol, Howard, John, Damon, Elizabeth, Kathy, Phil K., Georgette, Joey, Katie, Uck, Phil M., Deborah, Stryker, Jack, and Randy.
I want to thank Damon and Howard are commenting on a bunch of shows now.
Yes,
every
I saw that.
Time. You guys don't forget to follow. You can follow every single day, which I think is really backwards, but you can.
Join us.
Yeah.
The first story, actually, is a story I liked. Bill sent it in. San Antonio, Texas. I think we talked about this maybe a year ago. They were going to put in a library with no books.
What?
Yeah, really? It's San Antonio. It's the first.
Oh, it's going to be all e-library?
It's the first digital library in the country, the public digital library. It's called, and the name of the library is Bibliotech.
Bibliotech?
Tech.
All online?
Well, it's a play on Spanish. Biblioteca, yeah, which means library.
All online or like?
Not. It's not online. I mean, I guess it is. You could get it online, but you can go into the library. They have banks and banks and banks of computers.
Okay.
And you can sit and you can surf the net. You can do whatever
that
you want on the computers.
Like an expensive library.
Yeah,
and
it is.
It's actually a lot cheaper. I'll get to that in a second. And they purchase copious amounts of ebooks that you can download onto your device. And if you don't have a device, you can check out a device preloaded with titles.
I like that.
Check out my device.
So they don't have any books. interestingly enough, everybody was like kind of. I remember when they first started talking about this, everybody in the library world was kind of like, oh, yeah, that'll never fly. That'll be too expensive. That'll blah, blah, blah. To give you a little comparison here, in Austin, Texas, the Capitol's downtown library,
yes,
the old-time library, their annual budget is $100 million.
What?
Nice.
It's a big library.
Charlie, what's your guys' annual budget?
Our annual budget is, I think, between $5 and $6 million.
Oh wow!
That's like well, okay. Let me qualify that.
Let me try and not get fired.
it's not that anymore, okay. And hasn't been for like 3 years. Our annual budget now is
10,000.
No, about 50,000.
How much?
Oh, shit.
About 50,000.
I wasn't too far off.
No, well, no.
Well, not including salaries.
Yeah, I was gonna say. Yeah.
So maybe a couple hundred thousand. I don't know. No, not that much because we don't make that much. Anyway, the point is, the big library in Austin has an annual budget of $100 million. The digital library, the bibliothèque, was built, stocked, and staffed for $2.2
million. Okay, nice.
And their annual...
Including building the building?
Including building the building.
Wow, you'd think the building would be... Like the property.
I would think
like
that
if you went to buy property in downtown Covina... To put another bill, you'd probably pay $2 million for the property.
Well,
that's California.
And their running budget, that was their startup budget. Their annual running budget is $60,000, and that's including the staff.
What?
So it's a lot cheaper to have a digital library.
So annual budget?
Mm-hmm.
So they're paying six people $10,000 a year? That doesn't sound right.
Well, they don't have to have – they have librarians. They have a couple –
Yeah, but doesn't a librarian make like $60,000? By themselves in a year?
Oh, wait. I'm mixing up my numbers here. Sorry.
But I'm like, maybe $60,000
a month. $60,000 a year was the Florida Polytechnic University has a fully digital library on campus. But that's not theirs. Now I can't find where
still
I...
Still seems cheap.
Where it was. It was less than the $2.2 million. It was like less than $1 million. I can't find where the number is.
It's not as much.
It's grossly not as much. So it's a lot cheaper... To do the digital library.
Well, how about all the technology and all the repairs and I don't know.
You
got
to remember to
stuff.
Speak into the mic.
Well,
into
the
mic. Into the mic.
You can upgrade computers. Who's ringing? What's ringing? Oh.
It's Jing.
God's calling.
Oh, my God.
We're recording the show.
He always calls right in the middle of recording. I mean, like, without fail.
He doesn't know the timing?
No, yes. He knows.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
I think he just does it to irritate
us. This is thrilling for the folks at home.
Or he wants to get on the show.
Okay.
Bye, James.
Come on down.
He used to be on the show.
Yeah, he used to be on the show.
Yeah, he was one of the...
I'm taking over, guys.
One of the three original hosts.
Mark no more. I'm just kidding.
Oh.
He'll listen to the... This will be the one show he listens to. He'll be like, what the fuck is
I'm
going to
beat his fucking ass.
Okay. Anyway... Phil sent this story in from Grand Traverse County, Michigan. This is one of those stories that kind of, you go, huh? Like the pirate story. The golf cart, guys that crashed the golf cart and they were dressed like pirates.
Yeah, because
you don't
the
know
first
why.
Thing it was just...
Two drunk guys crashed a golf cart.
Crash a golf cart and we're like, Well, that's, you know, I'm sure that happens all the time. They're like, and they were dressed as pirates. I'm like,
you're like, wait a minute, what?
Got to make it newsworthy.
Yeah, that's what made it newsworthy was the pirates.
Now, the man's name was not released in this story. 54-year-old man, he was arrested. He was wearing camouflage pants and a clown mask, and he was shooting a gun at a can in the street.
Oh, that's pretty damn
he
dangerous.
He was clearly intoxicated.
Okay, makes sense.
And he was also playing a trombone at the same time.
Well, that's important.
And he did all of this while he was standing in his garage.
Okay, now wait. Now, go with me on this for a second. Okay. Hamza may not know what this is. Was he playing 106 trombones in the big parade from...
No. It's not 106. 76.
76.
76 trombones led the big parade.
Yeah. From the Music Man.
101. Okay.
That'd be awesome. If he was playing the Music Man.
Yes. No. It was one trombone and a clown mask. Let's not forget the clown mask he was wearing. Shooting a gun at a can in the street while standing in his garage.
Playing the trombone.
Which
is interesting because trombone is, generally speaking, a two-handed instrument.
Yeah.
So I'm wondering where he's like holding the gun in one hand and he like stretches way out to hit a note.
And then fires at the,
And then the kickback from the gun puts it back to another note.
Yeah.
See, I don't see a problem with that. Seems like a...
Because that seems like a total alcoholic behavior to me. I don't find anything strange about that.
Sounds kind of artistic.
Autistic?
Artistic.
Oh, artistic. I was going to say...
I know some kids that have
autism. I don't think that they're going to be doing that.
So he was arrested for basically causing a ruckus. I mean, he was on his own property drinking, but still, you can't randomly shoot out your driveway.
And by the way, I'm not making light of autism. Don't think that. As a matter of fact, if you want to find a good charity to donate to, Autism Society would be a good one.
Is it Autism Speaks or is it something different?
Huh?
Autism Speaks or?
Well, there's a whole bunch of them. If you go look up charities involving with autism, there's a whole bunch of them you can donate to.
Yeah, I used to work for Sprouts, and we did a lot of donating to Autism Speaks. And
okay.
Support Sprouts if you support autism.
Cool.
Or don't. They fired me.
They fired me.
I was drunk on the job.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, my God. I took a picture when we were in Vegas of a sign that says alcohol, because that sext isn't going to send itself.
I totally agree.
Okay, I think from here on out, it's all me, because we didn't get a lot of boozy news this week.
Okay.
This story is out of Denver. Now, here's an interesting side effect of the new recreational marijuana thing in Colorado. They weren't expecting, when they legalized marijuana, that one of the main problems would become exploding houses.
I thought the main problem
was going to be lack of Doritos or something.
I know, they ran out of cheese puffs. No, exploding houses. Because now what people are doing is they're taking they've decided they're all going to be Breaking Bad people.
Mm-hmm.
They're taking the now legal marijuana and they're trying to create hash oil, concentrate it down to make hash oil. And using butane.
It's not really that hard.
No, I've done that. It's really dangerous.
Yeah, they're distilling it out with butane, and some idiot in the house doesn't realize what's going on, sparks up a cigarette, and boom, the whole house goes up.
Wow.
Well, you're not supposed to do it inside,
yeah,
and you're not supposed to use metal piping.
Well, that's what they're doing.
Yeah.
It's kind of like meth labs that, you know, just boom, they just blow. They showed a picture of it on the story had a picture of one of the houses that was blown. It was amazing. All that was standing, basically, was the shell of the house. All the windows had been blown out.
And that's hash oil, right?
Yeah.
And see, that's not even... Hash oil is not even pure.
No,
but it's not the hash oil that's exploding.
It's actually...
No, it's the butane that's exploding. But, I mean, hash oil is like the first step. But I digress. Let's not romance.
Don't give anybody instructions.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Sorry, guys.
But what were you going to say?
No, this is my field of expertise.
He's going to talk about honey oil. And
and how to do it and how to make it.
Yeah, this is a bad idea.
We don't need
Sorry, guys.
That's like
how to cook hash oil from Recovery 101 Radio.
That's like the show where I gave...
In case you need maintenance.
Yeah.
Just kidding.
That's like the show where I gave everybody the web address to get pot delivered.
Oh, yeah. She gave it on the air.
Tell me more.
No. We're like You want to repeat that web address so everyone can go to it? The one guy out here who's sketching a little bit, listening to the show, goes, there's a web address where I could just have it sent to me?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God.
Oh, good Lord. Somebody called again?
Decline with message. I'm doing a radio effing show. That's
you have that as a preset?
I mean, he should. Because he gets enough calls when we're recording, he should have that as a preset. I'm doing a radio effing show. What do you want?
That would be awesome. I should do that.
Okay, the next story. This was in England. Torpoint, England. A 5-year-old boy was invited to a birthday party.
Uh-oh.
You'd think that, you know, okay, fine.
Seems dangerous already.
How old is he?
He's 5. He was invited to a birthday party. One of his parents, the other parent does not want to be named in the story, but the parent that was point on this, Derek Nash, received a bill, an invoice, for a no-show fee because his son decided to go and hang out with his grandparents for the day instead of going to the birthday party. So the woman who hosted the party for her child sent them a no-show invoice of £15.95 that they were supposed to pay.
Is this because they made reservations for something? The kid said he was coming and...
Well, they went to Ski Slope and Snowboard Center. Yeah.
Okay. It's a little drastic, but
I kind of get it.
No, I don't, because here's the other thing. The other aspect of this is that when the son said, I don't really want to go to the party, I'd rather go with Grandma and Grandpa, he looked on the invitation, there was no phone number, there was no address, there was just the last name, a common last name of the, you know, Mrs. So-and-so is hosting a party for her son.
Mrs. Jones.
So there was no way to get in touch with the woman the day before the party.
But how do you RSVP? How did they know that he was actually going to be there?
He told his friend at school, I'm going to come to your party.
Which isn't very reliable.
You can't
right?
trust a 5-year-old. Yeah. You can't trust a 5-year-old to do that.
£15 isn't too bad, though. I mean...
Well, you shouldn't be getting it. Now, here's the other thing is, they sent the invoice to the parent through the school. They put it in an envelope, and the mother gave it to the teacher and said, give this to this kid. His name is Alex.
Well,
Alex Nash. To give to his parent.
Apparently, that's how they RSVP'd, too. At school.
I know, but the whole thing is just sketchy to me. So
oh,
now,
no, it's sketchy.
Oh, but it gets worse. So there's this invoice. And
does it involve fisticuffs?
The parents, first of all, when you do a birthday party for your kid and you rent a place out or whatever, if somebody doesn't show up, you're like, oh, well, that's too bad. You've already paid for it. Mm-hmm. It's your kid's birthday party.
Right.
You're hosting it.
Right.
It's like,
go grab a kid off the street and say, hey, you want a snowboard?
Yeah, it's ridiculous. And secondly, now she's suing him in small claims court for £15.95.
Okay, see, that's where it gets drastic. I mean, £15 isn't too bad to pay, but
it's
little too little to charge.
It's a people's court.
Like
here come the litigants.
Somebody.
It's like $25 to us.
Yeah.
It's
you know what?
Ridiculous.
That'd go up in front of Judge Judy. She'd throw that shit right out. She'd be like, are you effing kidding me?
Fucking assholes wasting my time.
Yeah, she gets it. That,
I'm allowed to curse.
I don't watch her all the time.
Right?
You know, but I've seen her a few times. She'll look at people and tell them to shut up. She's like, I didn't tell you to talk. Shut up. She'd be like, I'm done with you.
There's
That's
like
it.
A...
I'm giving you contempt of court. I'm giving everything to them. Well, their case isn't even good. It is now. Okay.
Now, this story is also out of the UK.
Ugh.
Drunk man standing out on the street corner. Now, what I love is the way the English describe this stuff. A drunk man did the police's job for them. And it goes on. And then it says, because
Wait,
he was
don't
shouting.
You need to use an English accent for this?
Oh, I don't think I can.
This.
A drunk man did the police's job for them when he told himself off for aiming abuse at a popular PSCO.
Sounds
P-C-S-O.
Irish to me.
PCSO.
PCSO?
Police Constable something or other. PC
constable.
Is a police constable.
S-O or
S-O.
O-S?
S-O. Like,
I
don't know.
Police Constable of shit.
Special of order. Shit. The shouty drinker. That's what they call
the
it.
The
shouty
drinker.
Because he was shouting abuse at the police constable for no reason whatsoever. She was walking down the street doing her job. He was standing out on a street corner drunk and just started shouting at her about how horrible the police were. And he finally shouted to her, why don't you go be a real copper? And her response,
copper.
I love this, I'm rather happy being a pretend one and dealing with lovely people like you.
Nice.
And then he turned around and said, "You're right. You're right. I should shut up. I should just stand. I should just shut up. You know what? I'm wrong. And then proceeded to.
So what you're saying is this guy had a little program experience and he did a 10-step.
Mm-hmm.
Right there.
Right there.
10-step. Bam.
But I don't get how he did her job for her.
Because he told himself to shut up.
Yeah, she didn't have to tell him to shut up. Let's see. Oh, well, we're past time, but I'll do one more. Silver Lake, California. This falls under the category of how dumb are you? Artist Ilma Gore. She's a tattoo artist.
Ilma Gore?
Ilma Gore.
Gore. No relation to Al.
She has a GoFundMe project going on.
A what?
GoFundMe.
Oh, okay.
I like those.
For $10, she will tattoo your name or a few words of your choice onto her skin, her own skin.
I would charge more.
Yeah, I would too.
She wants to raise $6,000.
Wait, wait, okay. Wait. Really?
Yeah.
So for $10, we can get recovery101.net?
Tattooed on her, yes.
Fuck yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
$10, I'm there. Tomorrow, I'll find it.
Well, just look it up under Ilma Gore.
I want it
on GoFundMe.
Oh, no, I want it where you can see it.
Mm. Now,
her forearm.
She wants to raise $6,000. At $10, that would be 600
words.
Words or names or whatever tattooed on her skin. Now, I'm going to quote her reasoning for this. There is something absurd and beautiful about having an accumulation of absolute strangers' names draped over my pale goth skin, even if half of them are penis butt, she stated on her page.
Penis butt.
Penis butt. Apparently somebody has put in, and doesn't matter what you put, she's going to tattoo it on her skin. She says, the idea that it's permanent and it's forever and it's a piece of artwork. It's just this time the canvas is me. And as an artist, you know, that's like the ultimate.
I'm going to tell her I want CGGS.
It seems like the next level of, like, advertisement.
Do you know what CGGS like is?
No.
Cum guzzling gutter slut.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome.
That is the dumbest thing I have. The dumb. Do you know how long boxers, it's going to take her to get rid of all that?
There's boxers that do it. I've seen boxers with there was, you know who did it? You know who pioneered that? Was, and Mark would know exactly who it is. It's some casino in Vegas that did it.
Did
and
what?
And they did it, like, one guy had it tattooed on the top of his head, and one guy had it tattooed on his back, and other people have gotten tattoos where the whole time the guy's fighting, you see this casino thing on his back. And it's like, even if they stop paying him, unless he gets it removed, he's always going to be advertising for them.
Mm-hmm. Well, see, I would definitely, I don't know, I think I might do that to raise some money, as long as I had them pay for the removal. It doesn't seem that bad. I mean, I would charge a lot more, but... Maybe like $15 a name, but
it's ridiculous.
You know what I'm going to get on you? CGGS.
It's ridiculous.
Okay, the title kind of fits, though. Just kidding.
Ow.
Okay, and that, my excellent friends, is the end of the boozy news. The New Way Foundation Victory House AWARE program is a state-licensed and certified substance abuse treatment provider located in Burbank. The New Way Foundation has a 50-bed residential program for men 18 to 64 years of age without insurance and outpatient programs for both women and men. New Way is a nonprofit foundation that is partially funded by Los Angeles Substance Abuse Prevention and Control under the Public Health Department and provides affordable and effective treatment. For over 40 years, New Way has been located in walking distance from beautiful downtown Burbank, numerous parks, and major transportation lines. In comfortable settings, nearly the entire continuum of care is offered by state-registered and certified counselors and interns. Don't wait for an accident, arrest, or overdose to contact us. Help yourself or your loved ones find treatment and the joys of recovery. When your way doesn't work anymore, try the New Way. You can reach us at 818-842-9416 or on the internet at new-way-foundation.com, helping 25,000 people find a new way since 1967.
Recovery 101, clean and sober internet radio. Yeah.
We're back. Welcome back.
Thank you.
Shout out.
to the New Way Foundation.
And Sober College at?
SelfWillHappens.com.
Awesome. Hamza's over here like, was I supposed to say something?
I don't think so.
Well, you don't know. So, we have a topic. Oh, and I'm going to have to be able to...
Yeah, scroll back up.
Scroll back up. The topic was sent by Elizabeth. And is this the same way she wrote it in?
I just copied and pasted from her email, but leave all the names and particulars out, please.
Okay. Well, there's no names.
Oh, okay. I didn't. I couldn't remember if there were or there weren't.
Just the name of the person that sent it in.
Okay.
Okay. So here's the thing. It says, I was out to lunch with the sponsee, and she told me that her ex-husband drinks O'Doul's. Now, we're familiar with O'Doul's. It's a non-alcoholic beer.
But it has alcohol in it. A little tiny bit.
Like a half a percent. I am a member of Narcotics Anonymous, and I believe that drinking non-alcoholic beer is not okay. I know that the majority would agree with me. He's involved in service at the area level and has 20-something years clean. I thought non-alcoholic beer had a certain percentage of alcohol in it, but even if it doesn't, isn't that a way of trying to keep something from your past, from your addiction?
Yes.
It's like smoking hemp instead of weed. Hemp might look and taste like weed, but it won't get you high. I'm interested in hearing your thoughts on this matter.
He's wrong.
She's wrong.
He's a lead-out music boy.
We did a show.
Both the ladies are wrong.
Because if I can't see what the board is doing, then I sit here and get paranoid.
Okay. Okay. There we go. Now, we had something happen once on the show live.
When it was very first started.
Years ago.
Okay.
When we were very first started. And an individual said, I'm going to go across the street and get some kind of energy drink.
Okay.
And he comes back with a six-pack of O'Doul's. Now, two of the show hosts are looking at him like, you're not going to drink that, right? And he goes, yeah, of course I'm going to drink it. And we're like, but it's not really alcohol-free.
Mm-hmm.
It's half a percent. Now, half a percent, granted, is a tiny amount. And he said, it won't affect me at all. Watch. So he slams the entire six-pack in like 3 minutes. Just wham, bam, 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 bam. Now, one of the other co-hosts at the time, James, told me, he says, I'm seeing a head change in him. But he's claiming no head change. And what he said at the time was, look, if you leave orange juice out on the counter for 20 minutes, mm-hmm. you get half a percent. My answer to that was, that's possibly so.
Mm-hmm.
However, I've never slammed 6 12-ounce glasses of orange juice that have been sitting on the counter for 20 minutes.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's like, yeah. So
I think it takes a little longer than 20 minutes for the sugars in an orange to start
like
to ferment.
Probably overnight or something.
It hasn't even warmed up at that point.
Mm-hmm. Well, but the thing is, it could. You could drink older orange juice. I mean, yeah, it could happen. But what we came down to is, well, if we can assume that there's half a percent, which is a little bit, for me personally, and I don't say this for everybody because, you know, it's to each their own. But for me, I don't know what the percentage of alcohol is that kicks off the phenomenon of craving in me.
Oh, I get, yeah.
Why would I even risk it? Because if it's only a little tiny bit and that's okay, why don't I just have a gum shot of cocaine? It's just a little bit.
It's not doing much to
me. I'm not trying to snort and get all wiped out. It's just a... Or, conversely, I've never even done heroin. Maybe just a little tiny bit. Tiny, tiny. Where a regular addict would look at that and go, that's not going to get you loaded.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where my position has always been with this. What do you think, Shelley?
The gentleman who drinks O'Doul's, in my opinion, is engaging in long-term romancing it. Because, and I'll give you a personal example. I used to drink gin and tonic. I love gin and tonic. But specifically, I love the flavor of tonic water.
Gin and tonic doesn't love you, though.
Yeah, I know. I love the flavor of tonic water. I like the sharpness, the bitterness that it has, that the quinine gives it.
Right.
After I got sober, I thought, well, I can drink tonic water. There's no alcohol in tonic water. However, after purchasing a 1 liter bottle of tonic water one day, and I poured some over ice and I started to drink it, mentally...
Did you get that vibe?
Mentally, I'm thinking back to drinking. And wow, this tastes really good. And I thought, I'm sitting here freaking romancing a gin and tonic, and I don't even have the gin. And I thought, this is completely wrong. So no matter how much I love the taste of tonic water, I don't buy it. Because I'm not going to put myself in the position where I'm romancing something I used to do. Period. And that's what he's doing. I'm not saying that he's not sober or that he's not clean or whatever. I'm not in any way suggesting that because that's up to him. However, long term, that's probably not going to work. He's putting himself at risk.
There used to be a substance in Oregon, and it was you'd buy it at a head shop and you would mix it with cocaine, like as a cut, and it was called Superflake. And it had some, you know, kind of amphetamine-y sort of, you know, action to it. It had a little bit of numbing thing. And it was, you know, a lot of the properties of it were the same as cocaine. So if you, like, freebased it, you'd get a certain amount of this stuff would come back as well. The interesting thing was, so since it's not really cocaine, could I snort that to, like, get... You know, kind of get the cocaine effect? Would that be okay? I don't think so.
You said it had like some amphetamine effect?
Well, it's got caffeine or something in it. So it's got, but you know what I mean?
You're still trying to get a head change and whatnot, right?
Well, and exactly. And I think the thing is, for me, with this, is if I am a drinker, like, you know, maybe it's because he's in Narcotics Anonymous and he thinks, you know, but NA is quick to say alcohol's a drug.
Mm-hmm.
It's the original drug. They say it every time. Alcohol's a drug. We don't do drugs. We don't do alcohol.
Oh,
so
gee.
To drink something even with 0.5%, I get sketchy. What do you think, Hamza?
Okay, so at first I disagreed, and I kind of still disagree. I mean, this is where I stand. I don't know if anybody knows what kombucha is, but
remember your sponsor's in the room.
Okay, well, perfect, perfect.
Which
perfect.
Means just be totally honest.
I could be totally honest and...
And talk loud.
Yes. And have everybody
witness
this. A kombucha is like a fermented drink, but it's like a probiotic. It's for digestive health and whatnot. It's got a little bit more than 0.5%, but even kids are allowed to drink it. You know, it's not regulated or anything like that because it's not supposed to cause any effect, and it's for health benefits. So with that same idea in mind, like let's say if you're drinking the non-alcoholic Odules.
Odules.
Okay, Odules.
Clearly for medical reasons.
Well, no, there are. I mean, okay.
There are?
There are. Because let's say you have...
you got to point the mic at your mouth.
What's that called? Acid reflux or whatever? Uh-huh. You're too acidic and whatnot. Non-alcoholic beverage, like a beer, non-alcoholic... Would actually, what do they call it? Alkalize your body a little bit more. But see, what other
non-alcoholic substances?
Spinach,
that same
spinach,
thing?
All those good stuff. But that's kind of what I'm trying to get to. It's like the purpose of things, you know. If you're drinking it because, you don't want to let
maybe
go.
Maybe the guy
of something.
Has massive acid reflux.
Yeah, exactly. Well, drink some spinach.
That's what I'd say. He's like, I got massive acid reflux. It would be like Popeye.
No, I see Hamza's point. It's like it's and my sponsor always says this: check your motives.
Exactly.
What's your intent? I understand that, and I see where you're coming with that.
But now I agree with you guys because I don't know if you guys ever felt this, but part of the high and part of the getting lifted and all that good stuff, it was sometimes the trip to getting what I wanted was sometimes pouring the drink, sometimes packing the pipe, all that stuff, you know, it was part of the experience. So if you poured a cup of tonic, you're already kind of in that ritual again, which isn't, it's going to send you right back to the same place, I think.
And my thing has always been, I don't know if it would or not, but am I willing to risk my 20 plus years of sobriety on the fact that I'm not going, because one of the catch things of alcohol, specifically alcohol,
Nathan.
Is one of the things specifically with alcohol is that it I got derailed by someone calling me My train of thought got derailed. One of the things of alcohol is the phenomenon of craving. And, you know, you get that with other drugs as well. But the phenomenon of craving is a mental thing that happens with people, that something happens, they get a little alcohol in their system, and suddenly their brain just goes, I want more. I'm wondering how much – see, I wouldn't risk how much percentage of alcohol you would need in your body to kick that off. Yeah. Now, see, me, primarily – I was a drug addict. Mm-hmm. Not that I never drank alcoholically, but for many, many years, I was all about doing drugs. But let's say I was an alcoholic. I would think it's way more dangerous even for an alcoholic to drink a non-alcoholic beer for a lot of reasons. It's got the same kind of setup. It looks like a beer. It tastes like a beer. It's got 0.5%. It's like, why would you even risk it?
It's like being suicidal and deciding to walk up to
a razor blade salesman.
Yeah.
You know?
Just to check it out.
Yeah.
Well, I got to talk about the phenomenon of craving, because I told you about my ER visit last week.
Yes.
About, well, I always thought they were, what kind of headaches?
Migraine?
Migraine?
No, not migraines, the allergies. I thought they were like an allergy effect or whatever. So I'd always like deal with them, but they've been continuously getting worse and worse and worse. It was to the point where I was sitting down watching TV last week, and this headache just came within like seconds, maybe like minutes. And it just overpowered everything. I became nauseous. I started throwing up. I couldn't sit still. And my mom thought, you know, I was on something. She was like questioning me, like, what's going on? Well, not. I said, I have no idea. You know, I thought maybe food poisoning or something. Well, they took me to the hospital, and I got diagnosed with cluster headaches.
Oh.
Yeah, so.
We are simpatico.
Well, they gave me Norcos for instant relief until I met with a neurologist, and I took it that night. And I took, as directed, one pill, and then I got to tell you, I felt a little high. So. And the thing is, it didn't stop there. I started thinking about taking another. And, you know, so it really is like, where is that buffer zone, or where does the
phenomena.
Like, when does it start kicking in? And that's like, do you really want to risk it, you know?
Absolutely.
And I will tell you, as a fellow cluster sufferer, they're not very common. Cluster migraines are not real common.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what your cycle will be. Mine is about every 2 years. I have a month.
Mine's monthly.
See, you have a fast cycling. Mine is about every 2 years. I have a month where I just get the headaches you're talking about. Mm-hmm. But the thing is, they always did that to me. They would throw Norco or Vicodin or whatever at me, and like, that's going to help. But it never did. And the reason for that is because the headaches themselves, it takes longer for the stuff to get into your system to actually start working. By the time it starts working, the headache's already going away.
Yeah, it's probably going. Yeah. Well, that's actually what happened. So
it's pointless.
I was waiting for so long for the.
And I've got some fixes for you.
Shelly's the dealer.
Fixes?
I've been dealing with this for like 15 years.
Well, that's
so
one of the problems.
I've got a lot
really
of experience.
Well on them?
What?
Dilaudid.
No, that does
not.
Oh.
Dilaudid works on everything. Morphine.
Well, no. The reason they gave me Norco is supposedly because it was fast acting. But by the time I got to see the doctor and everything like that, it wasn't as bad as it was before.
Yeah.
You know, and it wasn't. I got the prescription, and I still have the prescription. But I was served one at the hospital.
Yeah.
So I took it and everything like that. But and it relieved it. You know, but I don't know how much easier it would have been at that point. You know. By the time I saw the doctor, it wasn't that bad.
I have a similar thing where I have some neuropathy.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they want to give me these tramadols. And tramadol is like some lightweight, it's non-narcotic, but it mimics narcotics. And the thing is...
It's like opioids
or
whatever.
Well, yeah, but the thing is, I've tried it a couple times where I take it, and it's like, it's ridiculous because when I get like a neuropathy pain, I don't get the ones where I get it all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So I get like this really intense pain for like 5 minutes. What good is a pill that takes 30 minutes to take effect?
Yeah, that's true.
If I'm only going to have the pain for 5 minutes, it's like, so what do I do? I don't take it because there's no reason. I mean, I don't. Now, if I get to where I'm having neuropathy pain all the time, maybe that stuff works. But even when I've taken it, it didn't seem to be didn't seem to do anything because it didn't take effect till after the pain was gone. And I could say, oh, it made the pain go away. No, it didn't, because the pain was already gone.
Yeah.
It was dumb.
Well, see, since then, I kind of explored the options of my treatment and whatnot. None of the treatments that I'm going to go see the neurologist for have anything to do with narcotics. I think it's just like an instant relief type thing while I was suffering with whatever I was suffering with. But
I have a lot of experience with them. We can talk after the show.
Definitely.
So back to old duels.
Yes, back to the... Well,
check your motives.
Check your motives. Well, I have been known to even... It's not that... I'm not as anal retentive about what has booze in it and what doesn't as Bruce is. Like, if I go out to dinner and I eat something and I realize later that it was cooked with wine or whatever and I didn't know at the time, I'm not going to have a fit.
I'm going to have a fit.
I've learned actually to ask ahead of time about stuff like that. But, like, at home, because Bruce is very, very, very pedantic about that stuff, I don't cook with, like, vanilla extract or anything like that. In fact, I bought a peppermint flavoring. I was all excited that I found it because it was really cheap. It was a little peppermint thing I was going to put in my coffee. And I opened it, and I thought...
You could smell the booze,
couldn't you? Smells alcohol-y. And I looked at the ingredients. It was 94% alcohol. I was like, well, I'm not going to be using that. So I didn't use it. But I don't cook. I've even been known to throw away grapes that were in the fridge a long time because I thought, they smell a little iffy. Well,
zero to 100.
Yeah, just in case.
Have you ever had that before? Yes. Have you ever tasted a grape and gone, ooh, a little whiny?
Yeah,
like,
it tastes
a little
boozy.
It's,
like, it's been in the fridge
happened,
a while.
No, I could see how that can happen.
Well, you know, and this fringes on the other topic, which is a thing that's similar. I mean, if it's okay to drink O'Doul's, is it okay to cook with booze? And again, I go back to...
No.
We know, because we've done the show a couple times, that booze doesn't completely cook off. Matter of fact, in some things, very little booze cooks off.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, we've also said, do I think it's like you're going to get drunk from eating... chicken marsala cooked with wine? No, I don't think so. But again, what is the level it takes to kick off the phenomenon of craving? Especially if I know it's in there. Because for me personally, if I know that there's booze in food and I eat it, am I consciously, purposely drinking, eating something I know has alcohol in it? And then why can't I
eat
a pot brownie if it's just got a little bit of pot in it? You know, or why, because the thing is, once you take alcohol, like the big book says, once you take alcohol, whatever, into your system is a dangerous, dangerous thing. And it's like, so if I know I'm drinking an O'Doul's that has 0.5%, I am doing what is clearly a dangerous, dangerous thing.
You're consciously ingesting something you know has alcohol, even no matter how small.
Right.
It's kind of like the whole thing, you lost your right, you know? I mean, even if it's for fucking health benefits, you lost your right. Go find an alternative source or, you know, just don't romance it. I don't know. It kind of reminds me of this situation where I used to do a lot of raving and using a lot of those kind of drugs.
Ecstasy?
Ecstasy, ketamine, a lot of that kind of... I'm on the show tonight, Nathan. Peanut Gallery. But anyway...
Peanut Gallery shows up.
So the thing is, like, for a long time, maybe for, like, 6 months to, like, maybe longer, every time I heard, like, a high bass song, like, an electro song, I kind of felt a little bit of euphoria.
So you had, like, a hindbrain memory thing?
Yeah, exactly.
What the heck is wrong with the Peanut Gallery?
Have you been drinking O'Doul's? Because he's laying on the floor.
Yeah, that's what we're talking about.
Drinking O'Doul's.
So anyway,
the what's it called?
Yeah, your hindbrain gets.
Yeah, the memory thing. I mean, like, it could happen the same exact way.
Sense memory of it.
It could happen the same exact way. You're snorting something that looks like cocaine, feels like cocaine, but it doesn't do what cocaine does, and the obsession starts to kick back, and the whole I forgot what kind of water, the mineral water,
tonic water.
The memory comes back.
Yeah, the back of my brain.
One of my favorite jokes ever, still to this day, and I made it up. So you take a package of Sweet and Low, you draw out a line with it, and you go, look, Diet Coke.
Huh?
Nobody gets it? Really?
I get it.
Oh,
it's just that funny.
Diet Coke. Okay.
He's like, wow. I'm like,
Sweet and Low is like a diet sugar and... It
so
looks
then,
like cocaine. I think
Hamza,
that's what he means. Yes.
What would your final words on the subject of O'Doul's?
I thought it was going to be check your motives, but it's definitely, you lost your right, you know? Just stick to the program. It's your life you're dealing with. It's sobriety.
It's your life. Shelly?
Hams actually almost touched on what I was going to say. Is before you do something like that and think it's okay, think about how much your life is worth, because that's what you're risking.
I agree wholeheartedly. My final words on the subject is, I don't know how much of anything it takes to kick off the phenomenon of craving, but I am not willing to risk it, because is O'Doul's like that freaking spectacular? I doubt it.
I've heard it sucks, actually.
Well, and the thing is, it's like, I really like orange juice, or I really, you know, so I drink orange juice, or I drink I'm a big Diet Pepsi fan. I'll drink a Diet Pepsi, or I'll drink whatever. But why I would drink something that I know has a percentage of alcohol in it, I don't get it. So, Shelly, we have people that listen to the show.
Really? Still?
Yeah.
Thank
not
you.
After tonight.
Oh, wait a minute. I did it wrong. We have a friend back east.
Okay. That would be Bruce.
The other white meat.
He runs the 12-Step Gazette at 12stepgazette.com. You can read his fine publication online. You can have it emailed to you, or you can subscribe and he will send it to you in the post. You can also inquire about franchise opportunities so that you can bring the 12-Step Gazette to your town.
Awesome. Now, Jelly, also. Well, I can try it with Hamza, but I don't know if he's going to know any of it.
I probably won't.
We have people that listen to the show, Hamza.
Thank you for listening. comment. Share the post. You can add us on Facebook. We have a fan page. And that's pretty much all I know.
Shelly.
That's pretty good, actually.
Okay, Shelly, thank you very much.
No matter how you listen to the show, we appreciate it. But if you could go to our website, recovery101.net, click on one of the shows, click like or permalink. If you are a member of Podomatic, you've just been counted. Thank you very much. That helps us with our demographics. If you are not a member of the show, you will have the opportunity to become one. It is free.
And fun.
And you can listen to old shows. You can like us. You can leave comments and topic suggestions, please. You can follow us. That will get you automatic updates of when we post the show. And by the way, folks that have been, I've had a couple of people writing on our email, recovery101 Gmail email, asking to be added to the list. That is the list. If you go to Podomatic and you sign in and you follow, you'll automatically be notified. And you can put us on playlists for all your rock and party needs.
If you are Facebook friendly, it is so easy to sign up at Podomatic. They will not spam you. They'll just let you know when new stuff comes up. And it allows you to like and comment and follow and all that. We like it when you do that on Facebook, but it's better if you do it on recovery101.net. Now, if you are Facebook friendly, you can like the Recovery 101 Radio fan page. If you want to be more anonymous, you can join the Recovery 101 group. That's a closed group, and you have to ask to be in the group. If ye ask, ye shall receive. And if you spam the group, they will boot you. Let's see. We've got videos. Or no, we've got an email address at recovery101radio@gmail.com. We've got videos at youtube.com/easylook and youtube.com/recovery101rule62.
Do not take yourself so damn seriously. Do not take yourself so damn seriously.
Like we don't. Shelly, who's the lead out music by?
Three Dog Night.
Chuck Negron and the boys, everybody, try and leave it better than you found it and be the example.
You got to say something now, Hamza. Your tagline.
And that's how the cookie crumbles.
And take care of you.